Good morning, everyone. It's been an amazing morning in God's house so far, seeing all of those people committing their lives to a newness in Christ, and we give God thanks for that. Amen?
Amen.
Are you guys asleep, or are you with me? All right, so Jody and I are truly thankful again for the opportunity to serve here in this new season in God's plan and purpose for his kingdom to increase. At the beginning of the year, we truly weren't sure where we would be because we were going through the interview process with Plantation Community Church, but we were still at First Baptist. And we are truly thankful that during that time, God allowed us to pray for wisdom, insight, and knowledge to know what his will was. And we are truly thankful to be here. We're thankful as well for some of our church family from First Baptist being here to celebrate with us today. Anyone from First Baptist here today? We love you and appreciate you, and we are thankful that we get to do ministry in the same city, trying to reach God's accomplishment by reaching people who are far from him. Today, as we gather together, my hope is to honor God as we share his word. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would speak to each of us uniquely so that we can partner with God as we measure the mission and carry out his mandate. Please stand with me if you can for the reading of God's word. Matthew 26:16 reads, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Let us pray. Everlasting God and our Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. As we come now into the hearing of your word, may we see you in a fresh new way. May we hear you in a fresh new way so that we can leave here to go apply your word to our lives. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let me see a show of hands, those who have heard this passage before. All right. It's a very popular passage for the Christian believer. It's often considered the Great Commission, and church leaders, pastors, use it as the foundation for the mission of their work. However, it is probably not always considered to be the same for average believers. Those who follow Christ often do not measure their ministry or lives based on this passage. But today, let's explore how God will change that. Now, I pray no one here believes or is confused that we are saved by the work of being on mission with Christ, because we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Ephesians 2:7-10 records, "In order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Paul affirms that God designed us to be at work with him, to help him, to help others, and for them to experience and share in the responsibility of his love and mission. Let us gather some context for the assignment of the mission. Matthew 28, 5 to 10 tells us this account of the angels encountering the woman at Jesus' tomb. And here, the angel provides instructions to the woman. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said he would be. Come and see the place where they laid him. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them, and Jesus said, "Greetings." They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I would classify this part of the passage as the mini commission, a smaller commission to the Great Commission. The women at the tomb were given a mini commission by the angels. They were told, "You are looking for Jesus, who was dead, but he is alive." And the angel said, "If you don't believe me," they didn't say it in those words, "but look inside the tomb, and inside the tomb you will find nothing, because Jesus isn't there. He is risen." Isn't that a remarkable truth for the Christian believer? Jesus is risen. "Now go quickly, tell the disciples he is risen." The women were first commissioned to go quickly and tell the disciples he is risen. Despite the simplicity of the assignment, despite the fact that they were afraid, how did they respond? The woman hurried away in obedience. Not just once, but twice. They hurried away in obedience to the angel, and they hurried away in obedience to Jesus. My question for us is, are we willing to hurry away to complete small assignments? Are we in a hurry to go and complete small assignments for Jesus? Or are we waiting to be used in big ways? If you are completing those handouts, the first fill-ins are these. If I cannot be faithful with small assignments, God will not entrust me with bigger ones. Am I quick to obey Jesus' commands? Am I quick to obey his commands to go love my neighbor as I love myself? Am I quick to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength? Or am I quick to love the things that God provides for me more than I love him? Am I quick to go respond in kindness and gentleness and compassion to others? Am I quick to be kind? Am I quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry? Or am I waiting for my big assignment? The woman hurried to obey. Let us hurry to obey Jesus. Those in authority over us. Children, are you quick to obey your parents? Husbands, are you quick to obey your wives? Wives, are you quick to obey your husbands? And as we co-labor together, are you quick to obey each other? I pray today that we would be quick to obey. But I also pray that we don't miss this very important thing from this passage, that there are two types of followers or two sets of disciples present in this account. And I assure you, disciples are not distinguished based on gender. They are not distinguished based on gender because we see the woman here being obedient. But let's read further to see how they are distinguished. Matthew 28, 11 to 15 reads, "While the women were on their way, some of the guards went out into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed." And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. The second set of followers or disciples that we find present in this account of God's word are followers of evil. You and I can either be followers of Jesus Christ or followers of the world. And how can I be so harsh? How can I proclaim this reality with such profound truth? Because Jesus did. If I am not following the ways of Jesus, I'm following the ways of the world. There was once a set of parents. They were frustrated with their neighbors coming over regularly to have conversations about things they thought were meaningless. So the parents devised this plan that when next the neighbors showed up, they would instruct their children to go to the door and advise that they were asleep. But children can be so innocent. The neighbors showed up, the parents summoned the kids, and the kid went to the door. "Parents, my parents said to tell you that they are asleep." Now, were these children wrong or disobedient? They were following the direction of their parents. However, obedience in deceit is disobedience. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 30, "Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me." Where the women hurried away to complete their assignment, in truth, these guards went away to obey in deception. This is a no-brainer. However, I want to make it explicitly clear. If those set over us in authority gives us instructions to act deceptively, we are right when we walk in accordance with God's word. Let me say that again. If those set in authority over us directs us to go act deceptively, we are correct when we act in accordance with God's word. The lesson here is this. In order to stay obedient to God's word and his ways, we need to read God's word. Psalm 119:9 records, "How can a young man live in purity? By living according to God's word." How often should we read the Bible then? That's not a rhetorical question. Every day. Can you imagine a new husband coming to ask me, "Pastor, how often should I talk with my wife? How much time should I spend with her?" And I would say to that husband, "You know what? Just once per day and once per week, just for an hour." Can you imagine how quickly that woman would respond that, "I'm out. I'm not interested in this marriage anymore because he's not spending any time, any quality time with me." How much more should I encourage the people of God then to delve into the word of the Lord daily, seeking God's face, seeking his will, and seeking to desire his way over our own? Otherwise, we run the risk of being minions of evil because of a lack of knowledge. The people will perish. Matthew 28:16 reads, "Then 11 disciples went out to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." 11 disciples showed up to the place where the angels and Jesus told them to go. Who is missing? Again, not a rhetorical question. Judas is missing. Why did I ask this question? To test your biblical knowledge. And you got the right answer. Having biblical knowledge leads to biblical actions. That's very, very essential to our daily living. We need biblical knowledge to learn how to live in obedience. As followers of Jesus, we live according to biblical obedience. Because as we have seen, if we are not aware, we are prone to do otherwise, similar to the actions of the child in the story or the guards in the account of Matthew. Jesus and his word leads to his followers living out his verbs. Jesus and his word leads to his followers living out his verbs. The passage continues. "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some they doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I will be with you always to the very end of the age.'" Who is here today to worship Jesus? Amen. That's correct. No doubt we are here to worship the King of the universe, the risen Lord. Here we see Jesus reassuring his followers, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Ultimate authority exists in Christ Jesus. Therefore, from Jesus, we take our directions because he is our model. He instructs us to go make disciples of all nations. And we saw that today in baptisms, believers' baptisms. However, God's mandate for those who follow Jesus is not merely to be baptized, but to be discipled in Christ. How do we make disciples, you might ask? Last week, Pastor Ray in Church on the Move talked about the first part of the process being baptism. But that is not the end of the process. A part is missing. And that part Paul outlines is that God created you and I for good work before the beginning of time, to partner with God, to teach others to follow him. Discipleship is teaching new believers to obey, not just going to church, not just tithing. While all those things are good and well, they aren't the only part of the process, but teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. This is a biblical mandate for followers of Christ. Make disciples. Parents, you are to be making disciples of your children. Husbands, you are to be making disciples of your wives. Wives, you too are to be making disciples of your husbands. And we get to practice first in our homes what it looked like to be in the process of making disciples. For those of you who don't have children, there are a number of children in the world who don't have parents who need to be made into disciples. And we get to practice that daily. I want you to ask yourself this question. I'm asking myself right now, Layton, are you making disciples? Are you making disciple of Jody? A Christ-like disciple of Jody? Are you making disciples of the kids you've gotten the opportunity to foster? Are you making disciples in your church, Layton? Are you making disciples in your neighborhood, Layton? Are you making disciples in the world, Layton? And I want you to ask yourself the very same question. Measure the assignment. How can I measure the assignment that has been given to me? Well, I am going to give you a small and simple assignment, just like the angels gave the woman. And one way in which we can invite persons to become disciples is by inviting them to church. So we have inviter cards available for everyone on the way out, and we want you to invite people to become a part of Plantation Community Church. As Jody and I candidated to become on staff here, we quickly learned that there is a secret at Plantation Community Church. Does anyone want to know what the secret is? You want to know? All right, I'm going to tell you. Plantation Community Church is the best kept secret in Plantation. A place where you can learn how to be Christ-centered, you can learn biblical teaching, and you can learn to be on mission with and for God. So we are going to tell that secret to everyone in Plantation and beyond. My second assignment for you is to study the Bible. How many times per week? Every day. But if you are not able to read the Bible every day, I would say try to do it at least 4 times each week. And this is a simple way of being obedient. Designate some time to dig deep into the Word. The Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. When we read it, we get daily directions to follow God's way. Bible plans are free and available on the YouVersion. They're free. And if you prefer to use the paper Bible, then I would recommend that you ask Pastor Ray or Pastor Dan or Pastor Sean or Pastor Layton, how do we study the Bible? And we would be happy to help. Research shows that for any life change to take place in the life of a believer, they need to commit to reading the Word at least 4 times each week. Not just reading it, studying it. Not just reading the Word, but studying God's Word to show yourself approved. If I were in high school and I just read over my English book without studying it, I would not be prepared for my English exams. But as I study the Word, I will be prepared for my exam in life. Go and make disciples. And I think it's very hard to make disciples when you haven't been discipled. So we want to make it that you are proficient in discipleship here at Plantation Community Church. So we are going to create a pathway in the next couple of months for discipleship for women, discipleship for men, so that you can learn to disciple others. And I am so thankful that there are men and women who are already here at Plantation Community Church who have been discipled and are ready to walk alongside others in discipleship. I wrap up today with this profound truth from our Savior Jesus Christ. As I make an appeal to those who are followers of Jesus first, then to those who have never committed their lives to follow Christ. Jesus declares in John chapter 15, reading from verse 4, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." But it doesn't end there. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." I invite our deacons to come forward as I pray. And I ask that if there's anyone here today who needs prayer as it relates to making a new commitment to walking in these simple steps, these simple action steps of inviting someone to church, reading the Word weekly, and discipling and being prepared to be discipled. And for those who have never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is an opportunity for you as well. Let us pray. Sovereign God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that your Word transform. Your Word sanctifies us, makes us whole. I pray right now that as your Word has gone forth, that we would respond in obedience to living out your verbs, that we would spring into action to obey your Word. As you said, Jesus, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." We give you thanks and praise and honor for this time. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.